It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is October 1st, 2023. I didn't feel like spending $49.95 tonight to see AEW Wrestle Dream. Actually, after doing a couple of shows and checking out NXT No Mercy, a majority of it, Wrestle Dream, I will take a wait-and-see approach. Some of the matches definitely are going to tear the roof off the building. Some of the matches just feel put together for the sake of being put together. And I think a majority of people out there are most curious as far as if a certain individual debuts tonight. And listen, in the overall scheme of things, if Edge, Adam Copeland does debut in AEW, it gives us some fantasy matches. It gives us some matches that we never thought that we would see, or we never thought that we would see again. Nothing wrong with that. The fact that he could still go. If you're a fan of Adam Copeland, he did not sell out to anybody. Let him make $100 million. You know, the fact that he could still go, and there's not that many years left in his career. You know, at the end of the day, we all wanted to see some type of a reunion with him and Christian, and not just the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, whether they have one more match together, one more match against each other, another title run, whatever it is, so be it. You know, I think back to WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock. And if you go back and you watch it, you know, it's one of my favorite matches of all time. It's not just because of the crowd. It's not just because the commentary that night was so awesome. Everything, the stars aligned. You know, but you look at Hulk Hogan, that was the tail end of his career. And listen, I was doing podcasting at the time. I was doing hotlines at the time. And when Hulk Hogan came back and ultimately won the World Heavyweight Championship again, and I think he ultimately, didn't he lose it to The Undertaker? I don't remember. I remember when The Undertaker hogtied Hogan inside that building and rode around with the motorcycle, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen on wrestling TV. But I do remember before all the Hogan controversy, there was a lot of people that were kind of mad. Some even pissed off that Hulk Hogan got another world championship reign. You know, the nostalgia was cool and everything, but some people couldn't buy into him being world heavyweight champion. Listen, as years go by, less and less people know about this. But here is the truth. A lot of people were not too thrilled about Rey Mysterio winning the World Heavyweight Championship back in the day. Yeah, it was a beautiful moment, no question. But I remember on my hotline for weeks after, people were like, it was a good, cool moment, but nah, you have to look at the roster at the time and understand. I mean, Eddie, you know, was the one that kind of broke through, you know, and I'm not saying that Eddie was the smallest guy to ever win the championship at the time, but it did open up the doors, the possibility of others. So if we could accept Hogan back in the mid-2000s still doing it, I think we have room for Edge to do it in AEW. You know, it's not sacrilegious. We're not doing anything that, oh my God, that is just not believable. It's a fun little moment. And here's some breaking news. You don't have to be part of it. I know it's the in thing to do to be in on the conversation with everyone else so you feel like that you're involved. But if it doesn't excite you, there is nothing wrong with that. You know, don't feel, you know, and I even said this about Jade Cargill. You know, Jade Cargill has a lot of work to do. But you see the P word. And that is the potential of what she could be. And the reason why people are taking it so seriously is because it is behind the WWE machine. You look at Trinity, when they were hyping up her debut with Impact Wrestling, and it was awesome. It was a cool moment. And in a matter of 2 weeks, nobody in the wrestling world gave a shit. Look at the ratings. Look at the ratings. Need I say anymore? And that's not a shot on Trinity. It's just, you know, after a while, you know, people, it just, if you don't want to be part of it or if you don't feel the same way, that is your right. But understand why people do feel very excited about the possibility of Adam Copeland appearing on AEW Wrestle Dream tonight. So anyway, tonight, the sit down, I want to welcome everyone. I will tell you right off the bat, this episode will be a little bit shorter than usual because quite a bit of people are tuning into Wrestle Dream tonight. No question, it is a stacked card. It is stacked from top to bottom. I mean, you look at this poster. Everybody and their mother's eye. In fact, I think MJF is defending the Ring of Honor tag team titles right now against the Righteous. If you missed my predictions for tonight, you could check out Wednesday's episode that I did earlier in the week. But, you know, it is a solid card. If you're a fan of these guys, I mean, of course, there's a lot to enjoy there. But since a majority of everybody out there is going to be tuning into that, we'll keep this a little bit shorter. So what do we do on Sunday nights? It's simple. I show up with nothing. Whatever you want me to talk about, all you have to do is be present in the chat room. And if you have a question that you want me to answer, just write in capital letters the word question so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, just write the word comment before your comment. And as always, super chats are never required, but they are appreciated to help keep me in business. So they will always get a little VIP treatment. And I see one came in right as we were going live. So I will answer that first. Then we'll hit the chat room. Shout out to Sticky Fingers, Frank. Thank you for the $10 super chat, Frankie. Hello, all. Hello, DT. What do I think Tony Khan's end of an era announcement will be? And will Edge debut at Wrestle Dream tonight? I'll answer the second question first, since we just had a little combo about Edge. Yeah, I do think he appears tonight. Tony Khan is not one to troll fans. Unless Tony Khan was going to turn heel tonight and become an on-air character and try to turn the landscape of AEW upside down, he's not going to disappoint. You know, I brought up Mercedes Moné on yesterday's Don Tony show. A lot of people seem to forget, up until that night, you had websites that said, it is confirmed, it is a done deal. Even two websites had the balls to tell people that Mercedes Moné was in the building. And it was all a lie. And how did they take responsibility? They just deleted their articles. As long as you clicked on their shit, and by now, a lot of people just totally forgot about it. That is the soup du jour with a lot of people. This feels different, though. This feels different because the retirement of Edge, the last match with Sheamus felt very abrupt. You did it on SmackDown. Why wouldn't you wait for WrestleMania? Think about it. WrestleMania is not that far away. I know Saudi Arabia is also a possibility. Why did they rush it? Because his contract was coming to an end. That's why they rushed it. His contract was coming to an end. If they were close to a new deal, that match with Sheamus probably would not have been a last match. Thank you, Edge. Thank you, Edge. It felt like he was leaving. But until his contract expires, never say never. You know, you think back to the Drew McIntyres and others that were convincing people, fans, websites out there that he was done. You had Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn not too long ago, people talking about, you know, and their contracts are up. And you never know until you know. And it was official. And you know what? Edge, somebody asked me today a really good question. If Edge was not going to AEW, don't I think that he would have said something on social media this weekend so people do not buy the pay-per-view just to expect him and be extremely disappointed? No, I don't think Edge would tell anybody because Edge is a pro wrestler. Edge cares about his fellow friends and co-workers, whether in WWE or Impact or AEW, Japan or the Indies. He's not going to blow up others or a different promotion simply because fans are excited. I don't see that. I don't recall any wrestler really ever doing that. Maybe much lower on the food chain, but I believe he will be there tonight. I really do. I really do. And what do I think Tony Khan's end of an era announcement will be? You know, I've thought about this long and hard. And if you've been following my show for about the last 8 or 9 months, I've been talking about how Warner Media had some financial investment in AEW, maybe not on the level of Spike TV and Impact Wrestling or TNA at the time, but Warner Media definitely has investment. And I honestly think, especially that WWE's merger was just finalized, I have a feeling we're going to get an announcement from Tony Khan that some type of a merger or some type of... And listen, I got to be careful how I say this, and I'll tell you why. You know, if you know me with my business research, you'll understand why I'm treading this lightly. I think he's going to expand AEW. Whether that's having Warner Media more involved, whether that's having more pay-per-views through their the Max streaming service, I think you're going to see or hear an announcement about AEW expanding Warner Media involved with it. Now, the reason why I say I got to tread lightly about that is because, you know, this is a publicly traded company, not AEW. But, you know, the higher-ups involved is a publicly traded company. They have to answer to the stockholders and investors, what do they do with their money? So if something is going to go down, the business world will be notified about it. Now, let me make something clear. I mean, and we don't even know if this is going to happen, but let me make something clear. Remember when last year you had a lot of wrestling news sites that really got caught when they said today is an end of an era, that WWE was no longer going to be TVPG, that it was going to be TV-14, and it's happening. I think they said like 2 days later it was happening on that Raw. And I came on, I think it was the Sit Down or the Don Tony Show, and I said, friends, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's bullshit. And the number one reason was easy. And it still blows my mind, and a lot of people didn't even realize it. The advertisers have to be notified. See, investors don't necessarily have to be notified if WWE decides that they want to, you know, curse a little and maybe have a little blood or maybe do stuff on TV that might be more 14 age than kids. But when you have agreements between networks and advertisers pay money to be on a show that has a TV PG rating, the advertisers, with their agreement, has every right to know if the money they're paying for advertising is suddenly going to be on a show that's TV 14. And that was not done. So Warner Media does not have to go to investors first and say, hey, everybody, we're thinking about doing this. Are you all good with that? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. So I have a feeling that's what we're going to get tonight. And the fact, when you think of end of an era, that is pretty powerful. End of an era. I mean, for indie wrestling, you remember End of an Era? That was a show that I went halves with the Masked Maniac at the Elks Lodge. USA Pro Wrestling, mid-2000s. We did a show called End of an Era. We had about 1,400 people go. That was the infamous night where the Triple Threat reunited and Bam Bam Bigelow mooned the crowd. I played footage for you not too long ago. That's the same night where Low-Key and Sonjay Dutt had one of the greatest indie matches I've ever seen in my lifetime. And Low-Key did an interview with a magazine and said, I wish it would have been for a different promotion. Fuck you, Low-Key. The 1,400 fans in attendance and all the people watching on home video is not good enough. It had to be for Ring of Honor or something else. Never forget that. Dick for Suda. I mean, look, he's not a dick anymore, but at the time, dick. What was the name of the show? End of an Era. Why? Because that night, at that time, was the last ever wrestling show at the Elks Lodge, the Madhouse of Extreme, the former New York stomping grounds of ECW. That was End of an Era. So when you use words like end of an era, something is coming to an end. It's not going to be Dynamite. It's not going to be AEW. It's going to be AEW as we know it, and I think it's because it's going to have an expansion. And I have a feeling it's going to involve a TV company. It's gotta. You know, if New Japan, listen, New Japan just announced a working relationship with AAA. Wait, I take that back. With CMLL and MLW. This was just 2-3 days ago. I seriously doubt announcements like that were being made, but I do find it interesting Rocky Romero wrestled a recent match on AEW TV. You know, so people won't understand why I say that, but if you do a little research, you'll see. But that's my answer, Frank. That's my gut feeling. If I'm wrong, so be it. So be it. Okay, Robert Smith. Where is Raw and NXT going in October? One thing is for sure, they're leaving the USA Network. I promise. Listen, do I want to see them leave the USA Network? No, I don't. But I think they're leaving the USA Network. I think it has to happen. And the reason why I say that, my friends, and I've kind of brought this up already, the stock market. People are not talking about it, but WWE stock is still down over 20% since the merger was completed. As soon as they announced the TV deal for SmackDown on the USA Network, the stock went down almost 20%. Right now, it's, I think, around $84 a share. It was over $100 a share before that announcement. SmackDown, they got $287 million a year for SmackDown on USA Network, a show that is drawing 40% more ratings than Raw. Yes, Raw and NXT together is 5 hours of programming compared to 2 hours of programming on SmackDown. But if WWE does not ink a great deal for Raw and the USA Network, that stock will tank even more. USA Network is not going to give WWE $287 million for SmackDown and then overpay for Raw and NXT. And as I said 2 weeks ago, USA Network would not have announced the SmackDown deal yet. You would have waited and then announced that all of WWE programming is going to remain on the USA Network or come into the USA Network. So they're going to ink a deal with some place that is going to pay more than I think what we anticipate. Because if USA Network, I know what some people think, oh, you know, they could maybe work out a deal. USA Network gets a little discount. You think investors want WWE to work out a discount? No, they want to get as much money as they possibly can. So Amazon is a possibility. Amazon is a strong possibility. I'm not saying that that's where they're going to end up, but Amazon is doing very well with football right now. Streaming media, you know, I mean, sure, you know, advertising revenue would be a lot different on a streaming platform, but, you know, I won't say Peacock. You notice how nobody ever mentions Peacock with everything with Raw and NXT? I think Peacock having Raw and NXT is a very unlikely possibility. But I think Amazon is a very good chance. There's other networks out there, but, you know, when you understand how much they got for SmackDown and how much the stock went down as a result, you think TKO Group Holdings wants that stock to go down to $60, $70 a share? That means they have lost $4-5 billion. You think this is not monopoly money. You think TKO Group Holdings buying WWE for $9 billion or whatever it was, it was worth almost $10 billion, I think, or $11 billion when the merger happened. You think that they're thrilled that they lost $2-3 billion of WWE worth? They're trying to figure out how do we fucking get that back? How do we get it back? So wherever they go, they're going to pay. And Amazon is doing pretty damn good right now. And I, again, Amazon is not the be-all, end-all with the TV deal. But they are definitely a strong candidate because of how well they're doing. So we'll see. We will see. Shout out to Cam Punk AEW. Thank you for the kind words, my friend. Thank you. Hulu, possible Rams fan. Hulu, though, is not on the biggest momentum right now. And, you know, from my neck of the woods, Hulu doesn't get the greatest of press. Hulu would surprise me. Apple TV would also surprise me. I mean, because I don't know many people that have Apple TV. And there ain't no way. I mean, if we're forced to, I'm sure a lot of us would. But ain't no way that people are going to subscribe to Apple TV just to watch WWE. Not too long ago, I think it was the Beavis and Butthead, you know, the new episodes. I don't remember what platform it was on. But I realized that I had to subscribe to a TV service just to watch the new Beavis and Butthead episodes. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not a cheapskate like that. I mean, I could afford $10, but it's just the fact that why am I going to buy a streaming service? I did that for a while for On Patrol Live. On Patrol Live was on Reels. And I had to buy a streaming service to get Reels because it wasn't on YouTube TV. So I had that service for a while. And then Peacock started having Reels on their channel. So I was like, okay, so I already have Peacock. So now I could watch On Patrol Live through Peacock. I don't want to pay streaming services just to watch one show or two shows. Paramount Plus? Yeah, Paramount Plus. I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? And Disney? I had Disney for about 2 months because I got a discount when I went to Disneyland for my honeymoon. Like, if you're a TV subscriber, you get like 5% off. That may not sound like a lot, but the discount ended up being like $700. So I subscribed for 2 months. I went to Disney, came back, got COVID, said, fuck you, Disney, and I disconnected my service. Still saved $700 on my trip. I don't see it going on any PlayStations or anything like that, but, you know, we will know soon. We will know soon. Listen, keep it something in mind, too, about AEW. Remember the media upfronts in New York City like 5 months ago? Whatever it was, do you remember all of the people online? 5-year, $1.2 billion deal? Boy, were they left with something in their hands. Because we knew that media upfronts don't announce TV deals. I mean, let that sink in. I mean, you had 90% of the media out there saying, oh, they're going to announce $1.2 billion deal for 5 years. And I think we were the only show that week that said they don't announce TV deals at media upfronts. And people were like, shut up, DT. We know that. We still want to, you know, we want to hype it up, get attention. And then nothing happened. AEW's TV deals expire next year. It's something's going to be announced very soon for AEW. Could you imagine if WarnerMedia went to AEW and said, listen, like a month before October of next year, oh, look, we're not going to renew your deal. What is Tony Khan going to do? You think he's going to race emergency meeting and contact all the networks? Please, AEW, please. This is not a WCW 2001 matter. AEW wants to get their shit in order before 2024 to get the TV deal set. That's why something is happening very soon. Something is happening very soon. We'll see. Kevin Milwaukee wanted to share a comment. Mike Bennett has the best new wrestling shirt out there right now. It says, punch him in a wiener and hit him with a pile driver. I like the catchphrase. It's funny when he says it. I would not wear a shirt that would say punch him in the wiener. I don't know many people that would wear a shirt like that. I just ordered the Nana shirt, Prince Nana. came out with, they finally debuted a Prince Nana shirt. I ordered it yesterday. Can't wait to get it. I will be wearing it in Pride. And, you know, go check it out. It's a very, very cool shirt. Very cool shirt. Definitely worth the $45. That's how much T-shirts have become, everyone, $45. And me, like an idiot, I didn't even know you get 20% off this weekend. So I paid full price for mine. But I know that the profits are going to Nana, so that's okay. That's all right. I kind of owe him a little bit for the bullshit that he dealt with me back in the day. So, okay, let's see. Any updates regarding AEW Wrestle Dream? What happened with MJF? Did he drop the titles to the Righteous? You know, when we did predictions, I was saying MJF, you know, people, promotions have to stop getting into the habit that, you know, like a world heavyweight champion cannot lose even one match. Cody Rhodes could lose a match and still finish the story. You know, that's when you know someone is so dominant. Okay, thank you, Joseph, at Verse Pro. MJF won. I honestly think that was a bad decision. Unless we get a swerve. Listen, this is, I hated when they did it with Doudrop, with Piper Nevin, that, you know, Sonya Deville gets injured, and instead of just crowning new champions, even if Piper Nevin and Chelsea Green would have been in a tournament and still won it, to just hand titles over to people is stupid, like they did with her. But I also think it's stupid that one of the two persons in the tag team cannot compete and you don't strip them of the championships, let alone the history of AEW. Interim, tournament, eliminator. Why? Because it's MJF? MJF could have lost a two-on-one. And guess what? To show that MJF, you know, gave it his all, but two-on-one, and even if you had interference on the outside of the ring, you know, that even the almighty MJF couldn't overcome those odds. It doesn't diminish his value at all. I think MJF should have dropped that championship. And since he didn't, he should drop it in the next 2 weeks. I don't like the fact that you have one person defending two belts. You want to do it for one night, fine. But I don't like that, to be honest. All right, Rams fan with a question. Could it be possible that WWE does not even lock Raw into a TV or a streaming deal before the first of the year? Sure, it is possible. Of course it's possible. But the longer that a deal is not announced and SmackDown's already been announced, the more nervous investors get. And you're talking billions of dollars involved. Billions. You see, like, if it was a company that only had 1 million shares, or let's even exaggerate a little bit more. Let's say you had a company that had 10 million shares and the stock goes down a dollar. Okay, that means the value of the company went down $10 million. Not a big deal. If you have 10 million shares and the stock goes down $10, all right, you know, it went down $100 million. A lot of money, but still not the end of the world. When you have a company that's worth $11 billion, and you lose 20% of its value, you just lost $3 billion. If Tony Khan lost $100 million a year, if Tony Khan lost $100 million a year, let's just say at the end of the year, with all of his other investments in football and everything else, let's say at the end of the year, he loses $100 million a year for AEW. He could do that for 30 years, and that's still not as much money as WWE lost in the last month. That's why when people say, oh, AEW will be out of business in 5 years, the only way AEW will be out of business in 5 years is if Tony Khan doesn't want to do it anymore, or they lose a TV deal, and they can't find another, and they just lose all fucking momentum. I mean, look, in 2001, did we honestly think that WCW got out of business? No. No. I'm telling you. I had my hotline at the time. Nobody thought WCW would go out of business. We thought at the very end, when WWF bought it, we thought at the very end that Vince would keep it alive, keep it as a second company, And it was interesting because we wondered if it would be on the USA Network also. Or was it TNN at the time? No, it had to have been the USA Network still. Yeah, it had to have been. I don't remember TNN 2001. I think TNN might have been 2002. But still, doesn't matter what network it was. But we never ever thought WCW would go out of business. I mean, you literally went from 2 months to nothing. And I don't see that with Tony Khan. You know, I mean, Tony Khan has his own nest egg. I know everybody jokes and says that Shad Khan is the one giving Tony Khan the money. And one day Shad Khan is going to say, no more, son, no more. I don't buy that. Okay. Let's see. If anybody has any questions, otherwise we're going to jet out of here soon. Any other updates? There's no way MJF and the Righteous have wrestled the last 40 minutes. What other matches have gone down on the main show? I know the pre-show, the Acclaim retain and other shit, but what about the main show? Any other TV results in the meantime? Otherwise, we're going to jet out of here. Kenta lost. Well, give us like the full match result because not everybody knows the full card. Was he taking on... Eddie Kingston? Was he taking on Eddie Kingston? Eddie Kingston ain't losing his belts tonight. It would make no sense. They just did all this emotional shit with Eddie Kingston. You don't have... What their mistake was is to have only one... They should add only one belt on the line tonight. Because then you would add fans that said, you know what, even if he loses one belt tonight, he still has the other belt. So. Michael Gonzalez is asking me, okay, before I answer, yes, thank you, Verse. Eddie Kingston, yeah, he did retain his championships. Not surprising at all. NXT No Mercy last night, I watched about two-thirds of it so far. When it opened up, I was a little concerned because I got a couple of matches wrong. I never in a million years ever thought Trick Williams would win the North American Championship this quickly. It was great, but it's starting to spew bullshit rumors, which we will have to address on Monday night. There's rumors now that the Judgment Day may kick out Dominic Mysterio because he lost the title, that why wasn't Rhea Ripley there all of a sudden and the Judgment Day members weren't there. They left Dominic all by himself and they're getting rid of Dominic. First of all, Rhea Ripley, they're selling the injury storyline for Nia Jax. Nia Jax is taking on Shayna Baszler tomorrow night. Rhea Ripley, if she's going to show up and give a receipt to Nia Jax, she's not going to make an appearance at NXT No Mercy first. Duh. And as far as Damian Priest and Finn Balor, they only appeared on NXT once. Why would they suddenly be there? So that is just dumb. But some people think that my idea last week might actually happen. That what if Damian Priest and Finn Balor give a set of their tag titles to JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio? As stupid as that sounds, and I agree, it's stupid. They just had Piper Nevin grab a title and say, to quote George the Animal Steel, mine, mine. And now in a record book, she's recognized as champion. She just grabbed the title. Give me that. It's mine. So would they do something like that? Probably not. But you never know. You never know. But from what I've seen so far, awesome show, man. Awesome show. I loved the spot with Becky Lynch with all of the wrestling figures in the ring with the heads and the bodies. Oh, man. Like, people have sprinkled thumbtacks in the ring. People have sprinkled Legos in the ring. I never ever in a million years ever thought, hey, let's take wrestling figures and just rip all the and just throw those in the ring. Very, very creative. But out of everything I've seen so far, my favorite NXT wrestler right now, Ilya Dragunov, is now the heavyweight champion. My favorite WWE wrestler right now, as in Gunther, is the Intercontinental champion. So the fact that these two guys had amazing magic a little over a year ago, and now they're both with championships. I love it. Ilya winning was the only way to go, in my opinion. Carmelo Hayes, now we got to see if he goes to the main roster, if he feuds with Trick Williams. Some people think, DT, I think Carmelo Hayes is going to be the one that's going to turn on Trick. That would be interesting. I still think the opposite, but that would be interesting because Trick Williams is getting crazy over. Crazy over. And let's be honest. Let's be honest. Even the deepest, biggest Carmelo Hayes fan has to admit to themselves inside that when he turned full-fledged babyface in his feud with Bron Breakker, he lost something. Carmelo Hayes, as that cocky heel, works 100 times more. He does these inspirational things like he did at that contract signing last week. I swear to God, I heard that fat guy, I should talk, in row 19 fart. That's how dead. I heard somebody's ringtone go off from a text message. All I heard, bing, it was dead. Carmelo Hayes could talk about his dead relative and dedicating if it would, and nobody cared. They got to change something with Carmelo Hayes. But, you know, from what I've seen so far, I'm going to watch the rest of it in the next 2 days, and I'm going to talk about both events on Wednesday. And by the way, yeah, quick plug. Tuesday night, Kevin and I will be doing preview and predictions for Fastlane. That will start live on our Patreon at 10 o'clock, and then once it's over Wednesday, it'll be online for everyone. So no money play. You don't have to be a Patreon. But if you are, you could check it out live as we record it. And also, I was trying to figure out, like, what thumbnail to make up for Monday. And since this got so well received the first time around, and trust me, this is not easy to do. For any of you out there that love photoshopping, you know, this is by far one of the hardest photoshops I've ever done. Because you could zoom in 100 times on this photo. And for those on audio only, I took the album cover of the Beatles' Abbey Road and the Judgment Day not too long ago when they were overseas in the UK. They actually recreated that scene from the album cover where they're walking in the middle of the street and Finn Balor has the shoes off. What I did months ago was I photoshopped the green Money in the Bank briefcase on Damian Priest, and I photoshopped the championships on Dominic and Rhea, and I gave Finn Balor a paper bag. So now, a couple of months later, Finn has two titles, Damian Priest has a purple briefcase and two titles, and Dominic now has the paper bag. I literally spent 2 hours not only photoshopping the briefcase, the double tag team titles, and the paper bag, but the hands, because you got to make it look like they're grabbing onto something. So Dominic doing that Photoshop was not easy, but look at the other titles. I originally had red belts in Finn's left hand and Damian Priest's left hand. And I thought to myself, if they're walking down the street, why would they have both belts facing one way? They would have the red belt facing the other way. So I had to like kind of take a red championship title, turn them black, all black, and then literally put snaps on them. This is by far one of the hardest thumbnails I've ever done, but I'm pretty proud of it. So that will be for Monday's show. We'll talk about it. And listen, something big is going to happen with Dominic Mysterio on Monday. It's definitely something's going down on Monday. So, all right. My thoughts on the Brian Pillman Jr. promo from last night. It's the same promo that aired on Tuesday. I love it, but, you know, I will tell you something. This week is the anniversary of Brian Pillman's passing. And tomorrow, when we do the post-Raw show, every week I plug the history episode that I put online every week, and I play a couple of clips. One of the clips that I'm going to play tomorrow night is that one of the most horrible things I have ever, most awkward moments in WWE TV history. And that's when Vince McMahon interviewed Melanie Pillman and asked her about Brian's passing, and he's bringing up, like, taking painkillers and stuff. I'm like, the guy's not even deceased 24 hours. And he's literally telling his wife, Brian Pillman's wife. I mean, oh man, that is one of the most awkward moments in wrestling history. This week is the anniversary of Brian Pillman's passing. So you almost feel like Brian Pillman Jr. should debut this week. He should debut this week. And so that video yesterday was the same one they had Tuesday. I will say this, for those asking on that video, when you saw the football players in the video, the player with number 97 was Brian Pillman. When you saw WCW Saturday night, I believe that was Brian Pillman's debut in WCW. A lot of you have been asking me, DT, what is the news footage at the beginning? And I think the news footage in the beginning might have been the announcement that Brian Pillman had passed away. That might be local Cincinnati footage. Believe it or not, there's a YouTube video out there of Cincinnati reporting his passing. I have not watched it in years, but I think that might be it. I don't know. But yeah, this week happens to be the anniversary of Brian Pillman's passing. So I was looking at this week's history show. This week's history show is a good one. You know, when Steve Austin beat the crap out of Vince McMahon in the hospital, everybody remembers that when he smashed the bedpan over Vince's head. A lot of people forget that the same segment was the debut of Mr. Sacco. Because remember, Mick Foley showed up with chocolates and, you know, the woman, the clown with the balloons with Vince. That also was the debut of Sacco. This week was the debut of Kane. And if I am correct, I might be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. This week is the pro wrestling debuts, the history, the anniversary of Chris Jericho and Lance Storm breaking into wrestling. And from my research, their first ever pro wrestling match was against each other. So believe it or not, you know, what were they, the Thrill Seekers in Smoky Mountain, right? The Thrill Seekers, I think they were. If I'm correct, their first ever match in pro wrestling was against each other. So there's a lot of good shit this week. Plus, Jim Cornette, he's not telling you something you don't already know. I mean, I know that's Sean O'Hare, but remember when he did those vignettes in WWF in 1997, ripping Nitro? I think this week was the first one that he had ever done. So I got to go through everything. There's also a wild one. There is a wild one involving Tammy Sitch that I'm going to play tomorrow as well. It's weird. It's weird. It's kind of creepy when you realize that it aired like 25 years ago, but it's weird. I'll just leave it at that. It's the Costanza is in the house. What's up, Costanza? Will we all go back to 2 hours and time start changes if they get kicked off on Monday nights? It's definitely possible. I personally think, see, this is what we need to understand. When we cover ratings every week, and I do this week in ratings, yeah, we talk about the high points and the low points of the show, but we also talk about the overall rating. And one thing that has been true about Raw for a few years now is that third hour is a killer. Case in point, this past Monday's Raw, there are points where the rating was around 1.6 million. Around 1.5, 1.6 million. By the end of the night, which was the main event of the Judgment Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, that main event only did about 1.2 or 1.3 million viewers. Hour 3, notoriously, is hundreds of thousands of viewers less. There are many times that Hour 2 has the highest rating of the night. If Raw... As crazy as this sounds, if Raw was only 2 hours for the last 3 years, their rating would be a couple of hundred thousand higher than what the overall rating is computed, because Hour 3 kills them. But the thing you got to understand is, even if Hour 3 only averages 1.3 million viewers, which is horrendous, but even if it averages 1.3 million viewers, you know, you got to ask yourself, what else could the USA Network put between 10 and 11 p.m. that would get 1.3 million viewers? Temptation Island? I don't think so. Temptation Island only gets a couple of hundred thousand at 11 o'clock. You know, so my point is, even though 1.3 million sucks, for wrestling standards, it's still a much higher rating than what other shows would do at 10 p.m. at night. So to answer your question, would Raw go back to 2 hours? I would love it to be 2 hours. And numbers-wise, it would look a lot better. It would look a hell of a lot better. But at the end of the day, they're still making some money with the third hour. So as long as a network is content with 1.3, 1.4 million for a third hour, the third hour will remain. There's a lot of people predicting that SmackDown will go 3 hours. Wouldn't that be something? You know, someone has not said this, as far as I know yet. I'll throw it out there now, just for thinking. If Raw, I'm going to mention this tomorrow too, if Raw goes to a different network and goes to Tuesday nights because of football, and then NXT possibly goes back to Wednesday nights and goes head-to-head with Dynamite, do you think that there is a possibility that the USA Network would bring SmackDown to Monday nights? And the reason why I say that, for anybody that's going to say to me, DT, are you nuts? You just said there's Monday Night Football. WWE, WWF Raw has been on Mondays since 1993. As far as I know, there's been Monday Night Football since 1993. So this isn't a new thing. For 30 years, wrestling has been on a Monday night, and football has gone up against it, and wrestling stood on a Monday night anyway. I wonder if USA Network would bring SmackDown to Mondays. How strange would that feel? That SmackDown would be on Mondays, and Raw, see, you know why I don't think that'll happen? I don't want 3 straight days of wrestling. And then, you know, think about that. I don't want Raw on a Tuesday. I don't want SmackDown on a Monday, Raw on a Tuesday, NXT on a Wednesday, Dynamite on a Wednesday, Rampage on a Friday, Collision on a Saturday. You know, I think having Raw, NXT, and SmackDown back to back to back, that's crazy, man. I do not want to watch 7 hours of WWE programming for 3 straight days. Mondays and Tuesdays is kind of pain in the ass. Dynamite breaks up the monotony a little bit because it's a different style, but I don't want 7 hours of WWE programming spanning across 3 days. Oh, no. No. And everybody in the chat room agrees with me. We do not want 3 straight days of WWE television. No, 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 no. Yes, you are right, Mr. Nobody. We get 5 straight days when you factor in Impact in New Japan. Right, but it's different programming. You know, it's like if you watch like TV sitcoms and you watch 5 straight days of it, it's not the same sitcom every day. You know, you're getting different networks, different styles, different actors, different substances. So you have WWE, then you have NXT. Look at it right now. Mondays, WWE. Tuesdays, NXT, different wrestlers. Wednesday, Dynamite, different wrestlers. Thursday, Impact and in New Japan, different wrestlers. Friday, SmackDown, for the most part, different wrestlers than Monday. Saturday, Collision, different wrestlers. Rampage on Friday, you know, the leftovers. So this is a good, you know, if you're going to have wrestling on almost every night, this is kind of a good mixture right now. I do not want the WWE style 3 straight days. You definitely need a break. You need a break. You got plus, you know, in SmackDown, you want to hype it up for 5 days. You know, when Monday they talk about SmackDown, it's still 4 days away. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know, if you advertise it on a Monday night, tomorrow on SmackDown, guess what? Outside of NXT, there's no WWE programming for Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if NXT was on a Wednesday. So that means you got 4 straight days that the USA Network has no wrestling, WWE wrestling on. So that's 4 days nothing gets plugged unless you're watching the network. So, all right, any updates on Wrestle Dream? We need some match updates. So far, we talked about MJF retaining and Eddie Kingston retaining. Let's get some other match. Okay, Chris Statlander retains, beating Julie Hart. I think that was kind of expected as well. Are we getting any title change tonight? I don't think we are getting any title change tonight. I mean, and it's funny, with all those championships, you would have thought at least one title, right? I don't think are the four-way matches on now? Okay, very cool. Very cool. Mark, I think you are trolling. That's all right. We don't mind trolls as long as they don't, like, spam repeatedly, but Edge did not just debut in AEW. You do not have Christian Cage and Darby Allin closing out the show and have Edge show up less than an hour into the pay-per-view. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. Yeah, Jimmy Carter, Rocky Red. Thank you for reminding me. Jimmy Carter, Mr. Peanut, turns 99 years old today. Who's my favorite president of all time? Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan is my favorite president of all time. Believe it or not, Bill Clinton is a close second. Well, not a close second, but Bill Clinton is second. And George Bush third, only because George Bush got us out, you know, like got us through 9/11. I know he is not as liked, you know, as back in 2001. I still remember that moment when they threw the shoe at him. But Ronald Reagan will always be my favorite. Ronald Reagan, you know, when he got shot in 81, I think it was 81, that was just surreal. But he set up the boom. And listen, Bill Clinton, I know Bill Clinton is a pig in a lot of ways, but Bill Clinton, you know, and listen, he stepped in shit because we got the internet in the 90s, and you had that crazy boom. You know, Clinton with the economy and Ronald Reagan with the economy definitely helped us a lot. Reagan early on was not doing a great job. Believe me, a lot of people forget about Reagan, you know, in 80 and 81. But after, you know, a little while, things started turning around. And trust me, I remember as a kid the economy at those times. And it was not fun. Right now, it is not fun. It's really, really bad. Really bad. But I think things will start turning around. All right. We got a Tiffany Stratton here. Sean. Rams fan. Where does Tiffany Stratton go from here in NXT? Assuming that she just wrapped up her program with Becky Lynch. I don't know if that program is done yet. I think it will segue into another program. Tiffany Stratton last night put an exclamation point on what I said and what a lot of you said the night she lost the title to Becky Lynch. When you went on social media that night and saw the usual whiny heinies, how the fuck do you take the title off of Tiffany Stratton? Becky Lynch don't need that fucking championship. How the fuck do you, you're setting Tiffany Stratton, all the hard work she did over the last year, you just set her career back, and I'm not imitating her, I'm just the generic, you know, media complainer. You know, you just set her career back. She did all that work, and you just dropped the title. Becky Lynch is taking Tiffany Stratton to the next freaking level. We put footage last Monday. I played footage for all of you of Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch on the house show circuit. And right now, Tiffany Stratton, it's almost like a fantasy camp where she paid thousands of dollars. You get to work any female wrestler in the WWE. You know, it's like a fantasy camp. You know, pick any woman in the WWE and you can feud with her for the next couple of months. Becky Lynch is taking Tiffany Stratton by her side and is elevating her to the next level. She is getting tested, pushed to her limits, and she is delivering. As Sean Ross Sapp said, and believe me, I'm not kissing his ass, I read everybody's comments the last 24 hours, but he said something last night that stuck with me. Tiffany Stratton gets it. She gets it. And, you know, not everybody in wrestling gets it. She is doing a tremendous job, and now you understand. Remember when I said Dolph Ziggler and Bron Breakker? And Dolph Ziggler beat Bron Breakker. We had almost the same show. Oh, fuck, you do that to give to Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler ain't doing shit right now. He ain't even doing stuff with Robert Roode. You fucking take the belt off of Bron Breakker, the future of the WWE, that you just setting his career back 2 years. No, the storyline was Bron was still a little bit off, a little bit inexperienced. Dolph Ziggler, the veteran, found Bron Breakker's weakness and capitalized from it. Bron, the second time around, failed again. Third time around, no. Bron Breakker learned. Now Bron Breakker is where he is now. Dolph Ziggler helped him. Tiffany Stratton is nailing it right now. And it's amazing to think where she was even a year and a half ago. You look at her a year and a half ago, and believe me, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I don't mind admitting it. A year and a half ago, I said, I don't know if she stays in wrestling. You know, I just, the daddy's girl thing was just ridiculously bad. But it was NXT, so you kind of like, you know, deal with it. But never ever in a million years at that time thought that she would pick up on this. You know who gives me that same vibe right now? Lola Vice. Lola Vice, I mean, even at this stage of the game, Lola Vice is even ahead of Tiffany Stratton's schedule. Lola Vice is starting to get it. And keep her name in the back of your mind because she's going to be a future star too, if she wants it. All right. Justin says, if you can't take a loss, then you aren't good at all. I agree. And that's why, you know, even when I was saying earlier with MJF and the Righteous, you know, I mean, does MJF really need to be Ring of Honor Tag Team Champion? I mean, are they keeping the belt on him similar like when they had the heavyweight title on Jericho, when they were shopping Ring of Honor to try to get a TV deal and they were advertising Jericho and others? And as soon as they found out, no Ring of Honor TV deal for you, Jericho dropped the title. Jericho hasn't been seen in Ring of Honor since. You know, it's like MJF doesn't need the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles right now. And it almost feels like they're keeping his name in it for other reasons, if you know what I mean. The Righteous, you know, however you feel about them, they are better suited to be Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. And AEW cannot get in that habit that because MJF is on a different level than everyone else, that he can't lose nothing. I don't like that. I don't like that formula. Sometimes a loss is a win for someone. And MJF loses no momentum whatsoever if he lost a match, especially if he had the odds against him, 2-3 people, you know, involved in the match, and he's there all by himself. You know, makes him human, but they don't go that route. So, no, Sinister, I don't think Jericho just wanted that title on the resume. If you go back and look at the time frame, when Jericho became Ring of Honor champion, at that time is when they were negotiating, trying to get Ring of Honor a TV deal. And then once they realized they were not getting a TV deal and they announced the streaming deal instead, Honor Club, Jericho dropped the title like that. And Jericho hasn't been involved in the Ring of Honor brand since. It was to sell it to others, you know, like, look, you know, he's our heavyweight champion and he's a recognized name in wrestling. And there were others involved too. Ring of Honor took a significant change in its perception and appearance soon as they announced Honor Club. And since then, it feels like Tony Khan is still fighting to get Ring of Honor on mainstream TV. Remember Forced Honor? That thumbnail I put up like a year and a half ago? You know, Forced Honor, they're forcing Honor on TV? You know, he's still doing it. You know, the Ring of Honor titles are always being defended on TV to try to, you know, get that exposure. Unfortunately, as we get into the ratings many times, those matches are the least watched by people. And it's not going to change. All right. JS, what's more annoying? People vague tweeting and then saying, I won't reveal what I'm talking about, or Raw announcing Judgment Day versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? If I remember correctly, Judgment Day versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens was the lowest part of rating of Raw. In fact, this week, when we do the ratings tomorrow, I think Judgment Day has the very strange accolade of being the highest segment on Raw and the lowest segment on Raw. The opening of Cody, remember Cody last week with the Judgment Day and Jey Uso and all that other shit that went down? That was the highest point of Raw, and the lowest point of Raw was the Judgment Day against Owens and Zayn. So the Judgment Day owns the highest and the lowest this past week. But people vague tweeting, I think a lot of people see right through it. You know, I'm stupid and I fall victim to a lot of these wrestling news sites that will post something very, very vague, you know, and then you read into it a little bit further and, you know, anybody could say the shit that they say. Our sources tell us that blah, 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 you know, and come on, you know, it gets old after a while, but, you know, like when you see other things go down, it's strange how, with all the vague topics, they apparently have all the sources, but they don't have sources when something specific goes down. The third hour is not always the lowest ratings, Justin, and the last quarter is not always the lowest. No. A couple of weeks ago, Ciampa and Vinci was the lowest. I think Kaiser and Ciampa, it's not Kaiser, Ciampa only, but no, I mean, the final quarter is not always the lowest. If I remember correctly, though, from the beginning of Owens and Zayn's match towards the end, I think they lost even more viewers. So fans were actually tuning out during the match, but I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I know for a fact Judgment Day was the highest and the lowest. So Austin is asking, who did the Young Bucks wrestle? I'm assuming he's asking the chat room. Young Bucks won. That was the number one contenders match, if I remember correctly, for the tag team titles. They could have another match with FTR. They didn't win the titles at All In to make a statement because everybody figured, you know, oh, the Young Bucks, 90,000, 80,000, 72,000, 265. The Young Bucks have to shine. And the Young Bucks did the opposite to make them come off as unselfish. But now the Young Bucks, you know, if you remember Claudio losing the Ring of Honor heavyweight championship, I said that I think that was done by design because they're going to put the Blackpool Combat Club in the trios picture. And then when Hangman Page drifted to Swerve Strickland, that was to free up the Young Bucks so the Young Bucks could go for the tag titles once again. So, you know, that doesn't make me a genius. It just goes to show you how predictable AEW is many times over. They are extremely predictable. And it seems, based on some of these results coming in right now, that, you know, what we expected happened. And Young Bucks doesn't surprise me at all. Doesn't surprise me at all. Jeff is asking, why was Edge out of Judgment Day as soon as he started it? It was basically to get them off the ground. Supposed to start it with a veteran leader, but, you know, I don't need to repeat the storyline. I mean, we all saw it on TV. Plus, here's another thing I will add to it. Edge was not working a full-time schedule. And the Judgment Day, they wanted the Judgment Day on television week after week after week. You know, you weren't going to put a part-timer in the bloodline. Roman Reigns is different because Roman Reigns is the lead head guy. He's the number one guy in WWE. So he can pick and choose, you know, to a certain extent when he appears. You know, it's WWE's decision, but still. Edge was not a full-timer. So Edge, there was a spurt where he was on TV quite often, but then they went in a different direction. And soon, they will go in a different direction. Just like the Bloodline. Listen, a lot of people are starting to agree with me of what I said a month ago, that the Bloodline storyline has hit a brick wall. It has hit a brick wall. Now, after Fastlane, Roman will come back, and Roman will act stupid, like, why does this guy think he's in Bloodline still with Jimmy Uso? And then that little bit of dissension with Solo Sikoa should reemerge, and then we see where it goes from here. But it's kind of hit a brick wall. Because I think by now, they never envisioned that the storyline would go as far as it did. All right. Let's start bringing this home. Thank you, Gruss. Gruss has breaking news. His sources tell him that Tony Khan has an announcement tonight. That's sarcasm. I'm very curious to see what the announcement is tonight. If there's even an announcement. I mean, you know, I expect Tony Khan to say something. Let's see what it is. I mean, we'll know in a few hours, and we'll talk about it during the week. You know, if it's a big enough story, then we'll talk about it on Monday. But Monday, I like to keep AEW off the show since Raw and SmackDown are not talked about on Wednesdays. But we'll see what the announcement is. Michael would like to know the most disappointed aspect of Edge's latest WWE run. For him, it's the fact that he never had a feud with Kevin Owens. His run did not disappoint me because he's a part-time guy. The problem is that some people started to assume that he was going to be a full-time wrestler. It's not easy to have a feud with one individual person who is a full-time guy and the other person is a part-time guy. So Edge, you know, after Seth Rollins, you know, he had the feud with Finn Balor, but even that kind of lacked a little bit. But it's disappointing that he didn't have a long feud with Kevin Owens or even any substantial feud. But, you know, at this stage of the career, you know, you take what you can with Edge and you enjoy it. Steve Barbie, do I see Kurt Angle managing the Creed brothers on the main roster? Do I think Rollins' WrestleMania opponent will either be Gunther, Punk, or Edge? Well, Edge is not happening. I'm still going with CM Punk. I think CM Punk and Seth Rollins is the money match for WrestleMania for Seth Rollins. Gunther, I want to see Gunther versus Brock Lesnar. That's the match I want to see. I don't want to see anything else but Gunther and Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. So I'm going with that. Kurt Angle managing the Creed brothers, I don't see it. Kurt Angle has a lot of health issues. Not saying he can't manage, but I don't see Kurt Angle on a weekly basis being on TV. And the Creed brothers right now, there's no room for them on the main roster for any type of push. Right now, it's not the Creed brothers' time. Once the Creed brothers get on the main roster and it seems like WWE has plans with them, then we could talk about it. But right now, the Creed brothers are doing what they're doing again in NXT, and we take a wait-and-see approach. The Creed brothers are so young that there's really no rush to bring them to the main roster. So I say leave them where they are. Adam Copeland is about to turn 50 this month, asks Sean. I'll tell you right now, Adam Copeland is, I'm pulling it up, he is 49 years old. October 30th. Yes, he will be 50 on October 30th, but 50 years old, he still can go. He will have, if he does appear in AEW, he'll have a limited schedule, obviously. The money, we don't know the dollar amount, but as I said yesterday, somebody who I trust that works in AEW, I had a couple of conversations with last week about a few things. And he heard from other wrestlers that Edge was offered lucrative money. But no one knows the amount. The only people that know the amount is Tony Khan, the legal team, maybe the Elite, Edge and his family, and WWE management. because Edge would have stood in WWE if they would have matched the offer. That's supposedly the story. We'll see how it plays out. By this time next week, we should have all those questions answered, except for how much he was given. Well, we will not know that amount. Anybody out there that even tries to make a claim is full of shit. They are full of shit. All right. Let's start wrapping this up. I don't have an update on Tony D'Angelo as of yet. I do know that Becky Lynch had to get, I think, 10 or 11 stitches from NXT No Mercy, but by tomorrow I will have complete injury updates for everybody in NXT, and if anybody gets hurt tonight, hopefully nobody gets hurt tonight. So, all right, any other match updates before we start wrapping this up? I don't want to go too crazy with today's show because obviously Wrestle Dream, we're going to have some big news coming out of that. That'll be the big topic of conversation Wednesday. And then tomorrow we have Raw. It is the go-home show for Fastlane. Let's see what they do for Cody Rhodes. Because Cody Rhodes, he did not wrestle the last show. Remember? He was on the Grayson Waller effect, and he introduced Jey Uso to Raw. He brought Jey Uso to Raw. We're not going to have two pay-per-views, premium live events in a row where Cody Rhodes does not wrestle. I get the weird vibe. We may see Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso take on Damian Priest and Finn Balor for the tag titles at Fastlane. And then Damian Priest and Finn Balor are going to show up on SmackDown Friday. So are they going to also announce opponents on SmackDown? I don't know, but right now we only have three matches announced for Fastlane. And, I don't know. It's lacking something. And there's no, listen, some of you are bringing up Ciampa and Gunther. There's no guarantee that's happening in Fastlane. In fact, I think that's going to happen next Monday on Raw because they went out of their way to avoid saying contract signing for Fastlane. All they said was contract signing. I have a feeling Gunther will be taking on Ciampa on Raw next week and not Fastlane. Charlie is asking the reason somebody won't say Cena's AA move. I don't know who you're talking. If you're saying why WWE does not use that, I don't know. It's the attitude adjustment. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, they stopped using the FU, you know, because, you know, people know what FU stands for. But no, I don't think. Yeah, LA Knight is over his COVID. You know, we talked about that last Monday that he was feeling better. I talked to someone over the weekend last week and they said, yeah, he was kind of surprised that he even had COVID. He just was a little under the weather and they did a COVID test just to play it safe, to rule it out. He tested positive. He's like, holy shit, I didn't even know I had COVID. But as we talked about yesterday, just because he tested positive for COVID last Friday doesn't mean he caught COVID last Friday. He could have had COVID 5 days before and didn't know it. And COVID now with the incubation period and recovery, it is much quicker. So he could have tested negative literally 2 days later. And then they waited another 2-3 days and he felt fine and they brought him back. Yeah, that was a little scary with Jimmy Uso and LA Knight on Friday. I definitely talked about that yesterday. You know, LA Knight, it is awesome to see them finally give him his main event rub. But at the same time, though, if you remember, you know, what he did in Impact and what he did in NWA, he was never in this major babyface role, running to the ring, making the save for one of the biggest wrestlers of all time, you know, and doing move, 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 move like this. He's been in some great matches, but what he did Friday is not what he has done in his career. That's not what he was designed to do. And sometimes when you are new at hitting, like, move, and going after Jimmy and Solo, and you can't let up. You got to be a little careful, and he almost dropped Jimmy right on his head, you know, so they got to be a little bit, they got to remind themselves that L.A. Knight, you know, was never in this position as Eli Drake. You know what I mean? Like, he never had to do this level, and they got to remember that. No matter how old he is, no matter how many years he's been in this business, it's not just a physical thing. It is adrenaline, there's timing, you know, there's, and plus, it's the WWE. You know, they're not going to accept sloppiness. So, I agree, Maggie. Adrenaline, you know, adrenaline can make people do things they never in a million years thought that they could do, but it also could screw people up. Trust me, some people, then they have adrenaline, they think they can do no wrong. And sometimes you overdo it thinking that, you know, you got it covered, and reality kicks in and you're like, uh-oh. So, Stephen wants to know when Johnny Gargano is coming back, and will they continue Chad Gable's climb for another shot at Gunther? I don't see Gunther losing that championship to Chad Gable. I think Chad Gable down the line will win a championship, but right now it's not in the cards. They want Chad Gable to remain as a babyface, and you see what they're doing. He lost against Bronson Reed, and people were like, oh, how could you do that? Well, you know, it's reality that Chad Gable, you know, they want you to think that he's got Gunther on the radar, but unfortunately there's going to be other people in his way. The following week, Otis fell victim to Bronson Reed. Because if Otis would have beaten Bronson Reed, how would that have looked in Alpha Academy amongst fans? Chad Gable lost to Bronson Reed, but Otis beat Bronson Reed. So Otis has more momentum than Chad Gable. So, no, that's not going to happen right now. Johnny Gargano will be back soon. He was not part of the releases, which I'm glad, because, you know, they have just touched the surface with him. Right now, Ciampa gets his shot with Gunther. They had a great match at Stand and Deliver a couple of years ago. They will kill it as long as they're given enough time on Raw next week, if that's when it happens. Then after that, then I think we will see Gargano back in the picture. Ciampa and Gargano is money. They did great in NXT. They will do just fine on the main roster. Ciampa and Gunther is being done because they already know they'll put on a banger of the match. WWE knows they'll put on a banger. Afterwards, what do you have for Ciampa? You don't really have much of anything. So after, and plus there's not that many opponents for Gunther. Think about it. Once Gunther overcomes Ciampa, what is Gunther going to do? Is he going to feud with Cody? Is he going to feud with KO, Sami Zayn? Who is he going to feud with? Are we going to get, you know, another person get elevated? We don't know. So once Ciampa has his little thing with Gunther, that's when I think we'll start seeing Gargano brought back. Bronson Reed, they are, just so you know, they are slowly now building Bronson Reed for Elimination Chamber. I'm not saying that Bronson Reed is going to get a title match. I'm not saying Bronson Reed is going to win any chamber match, but they're going to be in Australia. Bronson Reed is going to get a high-profile match at Elimination Chamber. I'm starting to warm up on Bronson Reed. But I get the feeling we're going to get a comedy stuff with either him and Nia Jax, or I see something comedic. Don't ask me why. A lot of people that are not, like, longtime listeners or viewers of mine are probably saying, DT, what the hell are you talking about? Trust me, over the years, I come up with these comedic things, and people are like, you're nuts. I predicted FTR having a comedy stuff with the Usos. I predicted a lot of comedy stuff over the years. You just envision the way WWE Creative does things sometimes, and you get it. So, John Cena's partner is LA Knight, Charlie. It is a done deal. It is happening. They will be victorious at Fastlane. And then Roman Reigns, as we said a week ago, Roman Reigns will return the following Friday. It will not be happy. And then that should, if WWE still goes with it, that should set up Roman Reigns and LA Knight in Saudi Arabia. But there are some people in WWE that think Saudi Arabia might not be the ideal place to have Roman Reigns taking on LA Knight. And I explained a little bit about that yesterday. But LA Knight will be facing Roman Reigns this year. The question is, which event will it be? Maggie says, I'm hope I'm wrong about Bronson Reed, though they need to keep him as a legit badass. No, Lord, Bronson Reed will remain a badass, but you got to have a little bit of a personality too. And, you know, you don't want to turn him into a goof like they did with the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders, when they were doing, listen, it was during COVID. So sometimes you got to, you know, understand why things were being improvised. Unfortunately, though, there's some people you just don't do that with. And they did that with them, and I don't think, you know, that's ever been repairable. I mean, it's starting to turn around a little bit now. I mean, Ivar just had an incredible match, and it was cool to see the fans acknowledge it. But that doesn't mean that you suddenly, you know, split the Viking Raiders and, you know, go in a whole different direction based on one match. You got to look at the bigger picture. So, okay, 5 minutes. And then we're going to wrap it up. Any updates on WrestleDream? I know we talked about the Young Bucks, Chris Statlander, Eddie Kingston, and MJF winning their matches. Who else has won? Okay, Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page are still going. I really would love to see Swerve Strickland get a win here. Hangman Page, you know, he's still super over amongst AEW fans, but... You know, Swerve Strickland, there's so much noise from fans want to see him elevated to the next level. And I don't know if that really happens. Maybe a Ring of Honor title shot down the line. But, you know, I think a win versus Hangman Page is necessary. I really do. Even if it's just smoke and mirrors. I think Swerve Strickland needs this win. So... Charlie, I most disliked president that I've ever disliked. I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people immediately go to Obama. Jimmy Carter was a little bit, you know what? The only reason why I say Jimmy Carter is because I remember my dad having to work three jobs at that time. I remember my dad... You know, now I look back when I was a little kid. Now I understand, you know, my mom is giving us, you know, boiling bags of Salisbury steak that cost 49 cents at the time. She wasn't giving it to us because it tasted so good. It tasted so good because it had shit additives and ingredients to it. My family really struggled during that time. Gas prices were through the roof. The economy was not doing well at all in the late 70s. I don't remember it much, but I do remember, you know, the first time my father ever tried to take us on vacation was going to Pennsylvania, and they had to cancel the trip because of rain. So my father struggled big time in the late 70s. So I'll go with Jimmy Carter. Joe Biden, I don't follow politics like I used to. I know the economy is horrendous right now. You know, I'm hoping a year from now, 6 months from now, it's a little bit different. If it's still worse, then he might replace Jimmy Carter. All right. Two more questions and let's get out of here. Let's get a win for Swerve Strickland before we go off the air. Yeah, there's a lot of people that think that Trump is going to win. I don't think I'm voting. Seriously, as of right now, I don't plan on voting. I honestly think neither one of them should run again, but I don't know what our choices are. You know, I'm kind of surprised at myself how I've turned on all politicians. You know, three, 4 years ago, I was totally... three, 4 years ago, you couldn't get politics out of my mouth. I would talk about it all the time, but I've just gotten so bitter just because I see how, you know, how the game is played, and I don't believe either side when they talk shit. So, all right. Have I heard any word lately on how Shane McMahon is recovering from his WrestleMania match? Oh, he's doing much better. He was in this video of him in the gym like 3-4 months ago. Shane McMahon is recovering nicely. It was a serious injury. He blew out his knee or his leg. But, yeah, he's back in the gym working out. He's doing much better. Honestly, I think, you know, him and Dakota Kai are on similar roads to recovery. It's just Shane McMahon is so much older. You know, Shane McMahon, listen, I'm a big fan of Shane McMahon. In fact, Shane McMahon may, at the end of the day, be my favorite McMahon of them all. But I don't want Shane McMahon to be turned into a comedy segment where whenever he returns, there's always stupid comedy attached to it because he got hurt. But he will be better. Yeah, he tore his quad. He tore his leg. I mean, he was in bad shape, but there is video online of him working out at the gym, and he's recovering just fine. Dakota Kai has been on TV because they want to keep Damage Control together as a cohesive unit. They didn't want all the focus to be on Bayley and Io Sky because that dynamic was going to lead to a split. And Dakota Kai being there, you know, plus a lot of fans like Dakota Kai. So that she can't do anything right now. If you notice, even when they stand, like Friday, they stood on the ring like they were going to attack Charlotte. Dakota Kai wasn't doing anything. She can't. Her leg is nowhere near at that level. But having her on TV every week keeps her name out there, keeps Damage Control as a cohesive unit, and a lot of people like her. But she is still a ways away. All right. Anything else? But we'll go off the air as soon as we have the final of Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page. So as soon as we have that final, because I it's still going. Still like that Energizer Bunny, still going. I really think Swerve Strickland needs this win. You know, a lot of people got angry at my Eddie Kingston comments last week when Kevin and I had that conversation on the DTKC show. You know, I'm happy for Eddie Kingston. I've been following him for 20 years. You know, he's from my neck of the woods. I'm friends with some people he's friendly with. Or I should say, yeah, I'm friendly with people he's good friends with. And I'm so happy for him. I was happy like a pig in shit when he was on NWA TV. But I also feel there's some smoke and mirrors. I want to see Eddie Kingston hold the championship that says All Elite Wrestling on it. Not TBS, not TNT, not ROH, not AAA, New Japan, All Japan, No Japan. I want to see AEW. And, you know, anything else? It's like, let me put it this way. For me, and that's not really a shot, but for me, ROH to AEW is what NXT is for WWE. I absolutely love NXT. But in the record books, NXT, having an NXT title and having a WWE title is two totally different levels. And for me, giving ROH titles to certain people and they never get an AEW championship, to me, that's telling. IWGP, thank you. All right. Let's see. Still going on. The match is still going on. So, what do you guys think? Before we go off the air, for everybody in the chat, because this replay, people see, okay, Swerve Strickland won. Good. So, I think so far, predictions are perfect. So, let's see where it goes from here. But before we go off the air, everybody in the chat room, just type in yes or no. Do you think Edge debuts tonight? Yes or no? Do not feel like you get an answer wrong. I mean, just your gut feeling. My gut feeling says yes. Because Tony Khan, as I said last night at the very end of my show, I want to see the hug. I want to see Tony Khan hug Edge, and I want to see tears come down Tony Khan's eyes. I want him to hug him like Tony Khan's dog ran away 9 months ago and just showed up at the door today. Ruff, ruff. Oh, Shed. I want to see the hug. So we have, you know, you want to know something, guys? For all of you to watch the replay, it is split down the middle. We got quite a few yeses, and we got quite a few noes. Listen, the only reason why I say yes is because I can't see Tony Khan turning disappointing fans. Yes, yes, yes. AEW never teased Mercedes Moné debuting. Wrestling sites did. AEW never teased Edge debuting. That pre-sale code that we shared yesterday was kind of interesting, let's be honest. But you have a lot of wrestlers in AEW commenting about Edge right now, that they would love to have him in there. Edge was offered a lucrative deal. I mean, I personally think that if Edge was not going to debut, I think we would have had a better feeling, a vibe at this point. I'll say this, going off the air, I will say this. Do not think, and remember this, no matter what happens tonight, do not think that wrestling news sites learned their lesson from Mercedes Moné. They did not learn their lesson. You had people telling us she was in the building and was debuting that night on Dynamite, whatever it was, and it didn't happen. You had websites saying that it is done deal, confirmed this, and they lied. Notice how they're all silent right now. It's not because they learned their lesson, but because they really don't know. People were convinced that Mercedes Moné was coming to AEW. They were convinced. So they bet on black or bet on red, whichever you want, and they bet wrong. With Edge, they still are not completely sure because TKO Group Holdings, they can afford Edge if they want to pay him. WWE could afford Edge if they want to pay him. Plus, people saying he's off the roster street, he's off the intro, he's off of this. Yeah, that kind of leads to the speculation that he is done at this time. But people also think, Edge, is he a WWE lifer? And remember what I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'll leave you with this. If WWE was still majority owned by Vince McMahon, and TKO Group Holdings was not involved, I think there would have been a better chance that Edge remain as a WWE lifer. Undertaker, up to now, has been a WWE lifer. But the boss now is not Vince. The boss now is TKO Group Holdings. And Vince, listen, I don't want to see him pass away. I don't want to see him arrested. If something comes out criminal, not just how we feel, but if something legit comes out criminal, yeah, you should pay the price for it. But once Vince is gone, you think Undertaker owes any loyalty to Nick Khan? Triple H is there in creative, but Triple H is not even on the board of directors. So Undertaker is going to follow if Triple H even worked for a different company? No. So the loyalty to WWE is not what it used to be because it is now owned by a different company. The letters are still the same, but it's not the same owners. It's not the same people signing the checks. So that is more of a reason why Edge could very well leave. Plus, remember this. Edge would have stayed in WWE if they matched or came close to Tony Khan's offer. WWE let Christian go. And look how great Christian has done, even though he hasn't wrestled all that much. WWE let Mark Henry go, let Paul White go, let the older wrestlers go, let Mickie James go, let other people go. A lot of the older wrestlers, you know, WWE does not want to ink them to these big deals. Trish Stratus had a little bit of a run, but it was mainly done, you know, for Becky Lynch and that storyline, but now that's it. So they were not going to pay that kind of money to Edge just to work a very limited schedule. There's not too many. Like, look at Goldberg. Goldberg only had, what, a three-match deal? You're not going to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars for someone for a number of matches. I mean, if they're killing it in merchandise, that's different. But it's not the old WWE anymore. So we'll see. Shout out to Chaos. What's going on? Austin as well. Both holding the ship down as always. But let's see what happens tonight, everyone. By this time tomorrow, we will know if Adam Copeland made his debut in AEW. My gut feeling says yes. We will know what end of an era meant as far as AEW. And I think that will be the expansion. Warner Media, a little bit more involved. Maybe more pay-per-views, maybe streaming service. Something is changing as far as the landscape of AEW. And I think that is pretty much where they're going with it. You don't just throw around, even for Tony Khan, you just don't throw around end of an era unless some people said Bryan Danielson may retire. Some people said someone else may retire. I think that's a long shot. Bryan Danielson retiring from in-ring action, abrupt like this, seems, let's put it this way. I would have believed Edge having his last match against Sheamus than Bryan Danielson tonight, but we'll see. Everyone, enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your weekend, what's left of it. Once again, if you are interested, Monday night, right after Raw, we will do our post-Raw show. It'll be the final Raw before Fastlane. We'll see what goes down, if any new matches are added. We'll cover a little bit of this week in history, some ratings, and some other news tidbits. Listen, I'm sure we're going to mention briefly Monday night as far as what goes down tonight at WrestleDream, what the end of an era and if Adam Copeland debuts. So we'll obviously bring it up Monday. But I hope you can join me. And don't forget, this Tuesday, Kevin and I will be doing your Fastlane preview and predictions. We'll record it live on Patreon at 10 p.m., patreon.com/DonTony, and we'll put it online for everyone Wednesday morning at DonTony.com. And if you did not check out last Tuesday's episode that Kevin and I did, download it. In fact, download all the shows this past week. Appreciate all the support. And very, very cool to see our status as far as the top 50 podcast out there. That was pretty cool. That was a pleasant surprise last week. When you look at your numbers and you see the top 50 and you're sandwiched right between, what were we sandwiched between? Dutch Mantel and Eric Bischoff's podcast and somebody others. I'm like, that's pretty damn cool. I'll take it. So, everyone, if you are watching WrestleDream in the background, you know, enjoy it. Let's see what happens. And I will definitely be watching it during the week, and we will definitely talk about it on Wednesday along with some tidbits on NXT. And Monday I will give you injury updates on everybody. So as soon as I get the show up tonight, I'm going to email or DM someone in Florida, find out about Tony D, see if he's okay. I personally think that if he was legitimately seriously injured, I probably would have been notified by now, you know, but I'll try to get the answers for you all. So everyone, be real. Be real. Be good. I don't know, lately just get words just blep out of my mouth. So have a good one, everyone. Talk to you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.